The book of Exodus tonight. Like, man alive, you got to be kidding. So we're going to go to the Old Testament? Yeah, we're going to go to the Old Testament tonight. Book of Exodus tonight, chapter number 2. This morning you heard Brother Chris's Mother's Day message. Tonight you're going to hear mine. All right. Amen. We're not going to read a whole lot, really. But we'll spend a little bit of time here this evening. We make the other reference to Hebrews 11 because there is a reference there, of course, that is mentioned as well in Hebrews chapter 11. So if you want to get your place over there and mark that, we'll read that a little bit here tonight, and that the Lord will use that to help us this evening. So let's look in Exodus chapter number 2. And let's read it, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. Behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. The child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Father, we do thank you for this reading tonight. Pray that you'd bless the word of God this evening. And we ask you, Lord, to open up our hearts to receive your truth tonight. Lord, if you don't help us, there's not going to be any help done. So I pray that you would work in the reading tonight and help us, Lord. I know, the Lord, you can help us with the knowledge of what we read in our head. But Lord, I pray that you would move it from the head down to the heart and help us, Lord, to hear not just with the head, but with the heart tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you've got your place marked in Hebrews 11. Go ahead and turn to Hebrews 11 tonight. Just for a moment, in verse 23. It says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." And there's more we could say about Moses, but you'll notice that Hebrews 11 makes note of the very passage that we've read. And if you stop and look at what's in Hebrews 11 and what could have been put in Hebrews 11, it says a lot that this passage that we've read is in this chapter on what we call the Hall of Faith. And of course, you know well that, you know, the writer of the Hebrews said, "What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of, you know, of Barak and Gideon, Samson and David, Jephthah and all the rest of them." So he took time to mention this passage. I want to look tonight here at this lady. Now we find out from a few pages on over that this Levite, this man of Levi, his name is Amram. And the wife's name is Jochebed. And so we're going to look tonight just at a little bit about Jochebed. I think I may have preached on this before, but I want to come back and look here tonight. When I think about a Mother's Day message, we could begin in Revelation. I'm sorry, yeah, we could begin in Revelation. We're actually probably in there. We look in Genesis chapter number 1 and see where God created man and woman. We can come over to chapter 2 and find out how that Eve became the mother of all the living. We could look from the pages of Genesis all the way to Revelation, and we probably could find somewhere to preach on a mother, whether it's a good example, whether it's a bad example, whether it's something that would speak just to the ladies, something that would speak to just or speak to everybody tonight. But why in the world is chapter 2, these first few verses that we've read, why are they important? Why are they important? Well, the reason they're important is because these verses are in chapter 2. Probably they're important because of what we read in chapter 1. Because you remember, three most important things, context, context, and context is exactly right. So look with me in chapter number 1 just for a minute. Verse 7 says, the children of Israel were fruitful, increased abundantly, multiplied, and waxed exceeding mightily, and the land was filled with them. Look at all of the modifiers and the superlatives here, if you will. Okay, the children of Israel, they're fruitful, increased. They didn't just increase, they increased abundantly. They don't only multiplied, but they waxed mighty, but they also waxed exceeding mighty. And it was to the point that the land was filled with them. There was a whole passel of Israelites. Okay? They was a whole bunch, just so you know. And of course, the new king that knew not Joseph in verse number 8 says to the people in verse number 10, after he observes Israel's blessing to deal wisely with them, and so they set them off with into slavery. And I wonder why they were able to put them into slavery. I wonder why. I'm just asking the question. I wonder how the Egyptians put them in slavery. Now, the Israelites were sojourning in the land, but they'd been there for quite a while. At one time, the Israelites were in favor. Now, they're not. You think of any other place in the world where Christians at one time were in favor and now we're not? In a place like that? I wonder what happened in Egypt. Did they go door to door and take spears and swords and sharp implements from people? I don't know if they did or not. And I don't know what the Hebrew form of molon labe happens to be, but they sure didn't say that. And that's Greek for come and take them. Come and take the weapons. Yeah. But notice what happened here. They're in slavery. And they decide that they're going to deal with these Israelite children in a very specific way. Verse number 22, Pharaoh charged all his people saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. They're trying, as you well know, to decimate the population. Okay? And we come to this passage here where, listen to me, it is against the law to keep a man-child alive. And it says that whenever Amram and Jochebed were married and she conceived, in verse 2, that she bare a son. What is it that they are supposed to do legally? Legally, the king's decree is to take him to the Nile and chuck him into the water. That's the king's decree. Now I want to remind us tonight, just because it is legal does not mean it is right. Just because the government says it's okay, just because the highest individual holding office says that this is acceptable, it does not mean that it's acceptable with God. And Brother Chris, nail on the head this morning, we hear all the time about what about this, what about that, what about rape and incest, and I'm not throwing off on those because those are very real situations, okay? Don't think we're throwing off. But I remember watching, years ago I was watching an interview after a debate between some Bible believer or some, you know, some Christians and these other folks who were debating against them. I don't remember if it was on the existence of God or morality, whatever. But I remember there's a guy, I'm pretty sure it was Todd Friel. And Todd Friel's got a radio program, it's called Wretched, and he you know, got some good things about it. Don't agree with everything that he would say. But here's what he asked the person. This one man came out, and they're talking about abortion. And he said abortion needs to happen because of the life of the mother. And he said, and Friel is listening to him. And he said, and what about rape and incest? He said, with all the idea of rape and incest and all the rest of this stuff, he said, we need to make sure that we have abortion available for that. And the life of the mother is very important. If it's between the baby's life, the mother's life, kill the baby, save the mother. And Friel just took the microphone, put it to his face and said this, can you tell me of one mother you know who was in that particular situation? The silence was deafening. I'm not saying that those situations don't exist. And I'm going to be careful because when I say stuff like that, immediately, you know people I don't know. You know situations I don't know. Watch me. But I know situations you don't know. Amen. Salute. Bless you. Amen. Gesundheit. I know situations, you know situations where that may have been something that was an option and was done. Okay? But the point is, as we heard this morning, the recent studies show that the percentage of those that are done for those purposes are very, very small. And we don't need the tail to wag the dog. Okay? I mean, listen, honestly, if the tail was wagging the dog, the Christians who are in the minority to some degree in this country, at least as far as public opinion would go, would be running things. But it doesn't work that way. And I can already tell, I've already started to slip into some very dangerous water, but that's all right. That's okay. I don't know how to, I'm not a very good swimmer, but I can tread water for a while. Okay? So, but having said that, just because it's legal, just because the government says it's okay, just because a law is passed saying it's acceptable, does not make it right. In fact, it was legal and it was religiously accepted to put those babies onto Molech's arms and to roast them alive and to have the drums beat. You know why the drums were beating? To stop the screams of the baby, to drown out the screams of the mothers as their firstborn children were going to Molech and were being roasted alive and died. How did God judge those nations? He didn't pat them on the head and say, boy, you did a good job. He called for their destruction. And when we have 60 million babies, nearly 60 million since 1973, that have been aborted, murdered in the womb, it frightens me that there is a God in heaven who is going to bring judgment on this nation because they would rather kill a baby than to accept the responsibility of raising that child, because that child is a life that is a precious gift from God. And you've seen the numbers. I mean, an adoption, it'll be $70,000, $80,000. Why is that? Why is that the case? It's almost as if somebody wants the children dead. I mean, that's what you would think. That's what you would think. So having said that, let's look at this text just for a minute and take a moment and look at Jochebed as a dear, sweet mommy, all right? What is mommy going to do in this particular situation? Let's look at her just for a second. The first thing that I want you to see tonight is that Jochebed was a mother, and listen to me, who was perceptive. These are all going to start with P. You ready? They were perceptive. In fact, P is the easiest number to start them all off with. Jochebed was perceptive. What do I mean by that? Notice in verse number 2, when she saw him, so mama is taking time to look at the baby. Mama is spending time with the baby. You know, it's really easy for Brother Hewitt, now he's preaching it right, don't get me wrong, to come in and preach about, you know, how and that the communists told the take the mamas away from the home, take the children and train the children, okay? Because they took mom out of the home, put her to work somewhere. It's easy, in one sense, to come in and preach that, but for me to look at you week after week after week and tell you that, knowing who works, who doesn't work, who's got children home, all the rest of that, it makes it a little uncomfortable for me, just to be quite honest with you. But to be honest, mama's got to take time and look at the baby. Mama has to take time to look at the baby. She was perceptive. When she saw him, watch this, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. I want to say, number one, that Jochebed was perceptive. Now, when I say that, here's what I'm looking at. Moms are in a special place, in a special position, to notice the special gifts and traits of their children. Have you noticed, those of you moms who have homeschooled, how every single one of your students is different? Some of them, all they want to do is like, "Mom, leave me alone. I don't want to hear you talk. Give me the book. Let me read." Okay? There are those kids. They want to read all the time. And then there are those, you've got to go tell the kid to cut a switch because they don't feel like reading a paragraph out of any book whatsoever. And I've seen kids before, they like to hunt and fish. They wouldn't want to read a Field and Stream book. This is true. If you will go back and look at hunting and camping back in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and even into the 60s, men wrote books that thick on hunting trips, on hunting, on fishing, on gun calibers, on gun selection, on the right loads for what you're going to shoot based on what animal it is, how far out you're going, how many grains of powder, the number of the weight of the bullet that you want to put in the cartridge, all of that. Whether you want to use a really fast-burning primer, a slow-burning primer, all the—I mean, those books would be written on that. But for the most part, maybe it's like, no, shut up. Let me go down to the store, pay for the factory ammo, go out there and shoot, and hope I do okay. There's some folks that just don't want to read. But did you know, Mom, that you can see that better than anybody else? Dads can see a lot of times some things, but because Mom is with that baby from the very beginning moments. Now, whether, goodly child in this context is, and it would seem to be a foreshadowing of the type of Moses, the man Moses is going to be. But I just want to simply say that, Mom, because you spend so much time with your children, you are the best educator that those children have. I'm going to say something that's going to hair lip a lot of people. You ready? Mama, you do not need a college education to teach your child at home. That's exactly right. Well, we need to understand child psychology. No, John Dewey was a child psychologist who believed that we need to put children into grades because they progressed on the order of evolution. You study educational theory, that's the case. Moms don't need a college education to school their children. And if somebody said, "Well, we're just not going to let you do that," well, we'll form a Christian school. I've got the degrees to back it up to where we could form a Christian school. We've got a few folks here who have some degrees and be able to do some stuff to where we could make it to where the children wouldn't have to go to a public indoctrination room every single day. Moms have that ability to see those gifts in those children. How many people do you know have said, "I am the person I am today because my mother loved on me, my mother helped me, my mother drew me out and helped me in the areas that I needed to be"? And I know there are some mothers all across this nation who would say, "If I had it to do over, I would have stayed home. I would have raised my children. Not only raised my children, I would have schooled them at home and given them the right and proper education." Mothers are in a special place or in a position. Moms are also, listen, moms do what they can to help develop those gifts in the time they have their children. It's a well-known story, but it bears repeating. Thomas Edison was looked upon, look at me, as mentally retarded when he was in school. Do you know why Edison was looked upon as being dumb and unteachable and unable to learn? You know why? Because he was bored to death with everything that was going on in the classroom. His mom took him home, schooled him, And I know this is going to hair-lip other people, but he began to do a little bit of work outside of school. Compulsory schooling is not the best thing that happened to children in this country. I'm telling you, young men like Blaze and like Dylan, there's not a thing wrong with them doing school till like noon and then going out and working some. Amen. Because that's what young men do. I think Brother Michael was telling me the fella he used to work for when he was in high school. He was texting people on his phone because he had his own business that he was running while he was in high school. People working for him while he was in high school. I say praise the Lord for that entrepreneurial spirit. But you've got to have a home that would allow you to have that freedom to do that, in most cases, for that to succeed. And Mr. Edison's mother pulled him out, schooled him at home, allowed him to develop those skills, and he became the great inventor that we have today. In fact, the reason we are in here with our bulbs now is because of what he did way back when. So moms ought to be perceptive. Mom, you have a special time with that baby. And even while they're at home, I know we have a handful of moms still in here who are homeschooling their children. We have some young ladies. One of these days, you're going to become a mother. When that happens, just remember, God has put you in that special place, just like Jochebed, to see the potential that's in your child. Take that potential and do your best to invest in it. Invest in it. If they are good at reading, buy the best books that you can buy for them. Not like little milquetoast, frothy stuff. Buy them some classics that they can read. There's nothing wrong with that. Help them to be a well-rounded person. They need to read some great works. There's nothing wrong with that. I've never read Ivanhoe. I've never read War and Peace. Don't plan on doing it because it's not my cup of tea. But some people are like, that's what I want to do. I mean, I did good to read. Call me hillbilly, you know. But notice what they do and help to develop those gifts, because you are setting the stage. If this lady had not noticed his potential gifts, it very well could have been that he may not have been the young man that he turned out to be. So number one, Jochebed was perceptive. Number two, let me say this, she was protective. She was protective. There is a reason that some mothers refer to themselves as Mama Bear. Teddy, I mean, aren't little bears, and aren't they just so cute? Aren't they just cute? They're cute till Mama thinks you're trying to hurt them, and then she's gonna tear your world all to pieces. I love to watch hunting videos, and I hadn't watched in a long time, but just a little reel came up on Facebook here the other day, or one of the other ones, and I looked at it, and there was an archer. I believe it was Fred Eichler. He's a professional hunter, lives out in Colorado. I don't remember if he was up in Montana or Alaska, where he was at, but he was in a boat, and as they were going down the river, a mama, is either brown or a grizzly, charged them, came out into the water, and I think, you know, they had like a 500 Smith & Wesson, you know, mag where they, you know, shot it into the water and, you know, scared Mama off. But, you know, there's a reason that Mama Bears are supposed to be feared. And with Jochebed, here's what she did. She was not afraid, Hebrews tells us, of the king's commandment. The king said, kill them. Mom said, no. Just say no. Jochebed knew what the law was. And listen, to disobey the law on that day, you know as well as I do, that would have been a capital crime, even for that woman, and no doubt for her husband as well. But she put what was right above the law. It's always right to put the right above the law. Amen. It's always right. She did what was right to preserve the life of her child. And obviously, you know, whenever Aaron and Miriam, who were older, apparently this didn't apply to them. Every new one that came along. But she did what was right to take care of this young man here. Didn't even name him. It's interesting that we know him as Moses because that's what Pharaoh's daughter called him. Whether his mother named him before she sent him out into the river, we don't know. But we know him as Moses. Now, here's the interesting thing. We live in a society that a lot of people want to say, hey, look at what I'm doing, because they want some notoriety. Watch me. I'm going to stand against it. They'll get on Facebook. I am not going to do this because I don't. There's a time and a place for that. Now, I want you to look here. You do not see in this text where Jochebed walked out into the streets in the middle of town and said, I'm going to disobey Pharaoh's commandment, and I'm going to keep this baby, and there ain't a thing you can do about it. Na, 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 na. She didn't do that. She didn't do it. She did what was right to protect her child, but she did not make a public display or declaration of what she was doing. In a sense, I want you to listen to me, this lady was a leader in her home, governing her house by making a really, really tough decision. Now, we know Hebrews talks about his parents. You know, dad's involved in this. But Exodus puts the focus on mom. Okay? I understand Hebrews, but I'm going to focus on mom like the Holy Ghost did in Exodus. So let's see, what did Jochebed do? She was protective of her child. She did not get rid of her baby to be convenient. It's wrong to kill babies. Wrong to do that. Wrong to kill babies. Wrong to kill babies. She did what a mother does to her child, and that's love her child. So, whatever, but here's the thing I want you to see. Whatever other mothers may have done, because you know there were babies going into the river regularly, because there were mothers who were bowing to whatever Moloch, if you will, or Egypt had to say. And these weren't Ammonites, these were Hamites, okay? Weren't Canaanites, they were Hamites down in Egypt. And with that, whatever the other mothers did, Jochebed did what was right. Now here's the interesting thing. We as parents want to keep our children as long as we can. I've enjoyed having my son, his wife, and baby with us for a couple of days. I've enjoyed that. I've enjoyed it. But they need to have their own home with their own housekeeping, their way of setting things up. We're not Amish, okay? Okay, I'm not Mr. Yoder. I don't have a hat and all the rest of it, all right? But here's the thing. She kept that baby as long as she could. But the time came where she couldn't keep him. So while she had him, here's what she did. She fed the baby. See, how do you know that? Because kids cry and they have to eat. And Amram may have said, hush that boy up and feed the child. Okay? I got to get some sleep because I got to go back out and work in the fields tomorrow. She would have fed him. She would have clothed him. She's not afraid of the snow. You know, all her house is clothed with scarlet. Proverbs 31 over there. And no doubt, listen to me, because of what was going on socially and politically at the time, she would have cried and prayed over him. There's no doubt about that in my mind. Well, preacher, the Bible doesn't say that she cried and prayed over him. All right, mom, put your place in that position. Tell me what you would have done. And some of us men, we can be a little too callous and not think like we should. Put ourselves in mom's position. Moms have it tough. They do. Don't think that a mom's life is easy. I mean, she had to raise you. Amen. I love what Brother Chris said. He told the boy, said, you know, give your dad some grace. He's never raised an idiot before. I'm thinking I might know the boy he told that to. It's like, okay, well. But this lady would have cried over him, prayed over him, and would have invested every ounce of strength that she had. Mothers are selfless people. I can still remember my mom standing up with me late at night, listening to me as I moaned and groaned. When I get sick, I moan and groan. Okay? I moan and groan. because I want attention. I want people to feel sorry for me. I do get sick. I moan and groan. That's the way it is. That's how it is. When some of you fellows are like, well, it doesn't bother me. Well, that's fine. I moan and groan. I whine about it. I'm just telling you. Okay? So you pray for me. I'm not as spiritual as you are. All right? But this lady would have listened to her child squall, cry, whatever. My mom would be right there taking the cold rag, putting it on my head, going to get me Coke to drink, crushing up the ice, all the rest, just to make sure that I felt a little good while I was sick. Is Moses, this little baby here, the unnamed baby, before he became Moses, mama is doing what she can to invest in him, pour into him while he's there. And so, mom, you've got a limited amount of time. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. Blaze is driving. What's up with that? Hannah is driving. Lord help us. That's scary. Savannah's got a car. David, it's your fault. Think about that for a minute. These are no longer, look at me. Blaze is no longer a little boy. Hannah and Savannah are no longer little girls. Young man, two young women here. Times are changing. Lives are changing. Roles and abilities are changing. Because of that, we've only got a little bit of time left with them. And just as a reminder to moms, that you know as well as I do that time will not stop. Time and tide, they wait for no man. And because the time we have is limited, there's so much we want to do, so little it seems like we can do. And how many of us wish we could just rewind and go back and press play and record over everything that we did and do it better? All right? Don't you wish we could? But this woman was protective. So, Blaze, Sarah, Hannah, Savannah. And I can look over here and talk to Dylan, Cherry. Don't get upset when mom says no about things. Don't get upset about it. Mom is being protective. I know you're not going to believe this, but your mother is smarter than you are. I didn't get an amen from anybody. You mother should have amened loud. I should have y'all do like a Comanche war whoop, throw your hands up in the air and say, woo, yes. Mama's smarter than you are. And when you get a little bit of life experience behind you and you can look back, perspective is something that only comes with age. And you're looking at me and you're saying, you are just so stupid. You don't know what you're talking about. I've told you the time. I could take you to the exact spot on that little four-lane highway, the river over on my right-hand side, leaving Townsend, and my dad looked at me at 14 years old and said, son, I realize you're at the age where you think you know everything. And I thought to myself, without saying a word to my dad, you're right, Dad, I do know everything, but I didn't say it to him. But I thought it because I was too smart because I knew enough not to say it out loud because I didn't want to break his heart that he was wrong that I didn't know everything, you know. It'll amaze you how much your mom knows. And listen, she's trying to protect you right now. She's trying to pour into you. Because once you leave the outside and go to the outside, it's different out there. I remember one time, I can't remember if it was one of the, if it was like, I don't remember what Mrs. Duggar's name is, either the Duggar or Miss Bates. I don't remember which one it was. But, you know, they have large families, and people have said, well, you're keeping your children inside too long, you're keeping them isolated from the world, and because you're doing that, you're not producing children who can go out into the world and do, you know, be members of society. And one of those two mothers, I don't remember which one it was, said this. She said, I'm raising my children just like I would raise a plant in a greenhouse. You don't take a seed, get a seed to pop up and get a small sprout and take it outside in the middle of spring when the temperatures rise into the 60s in the day and drop into the 30s at night, because what's going to happen to that plant? It's going to die. But to take that plant from the greenhouse to the outside, it has to go through a hardening process. It has to be exposed a little at a time. The windows on the greenhouse have got to be left open a little bit at night, okay, to be able to take that colder temperature a little bit better. And maybe it'll spend a little bit of time outside and then brought back in at night. But she said, I'm not taking that plant, that really vulnerable, fragile seedling, and taking it outside and exposing it to the elements when it's not prepared to meet the elements. But when it's prepared to meet the elements, I'll take it outside, I'll plant it, and because it has had a good start, it will take root, it will grow, and it will produce fruit. Amen. Mom's being protective. Jochebed is being protective here. She's being protective. And she's doing that because it's not time just yet to let him go. She's keeping him as long as she can. She was not ready to let him go. And listen, but here's the thing. The whole time of letting go was beyond her control. I'm going to say something that I don't want to say, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's just a fact. And just because it's a fact doesn't make it right. Any of you young people who are in your teens right now, I called you young folks out here driving, look at me right now. You could rebel against your parents and say, I am not going to live under your roof. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do what you say. I'm going to do my own thing. I'll move out. I'll go to X. I'll go to Y. Go to Z. I'll do this. I'll go over here. These people will take me in. And I'm going to do what I want to do. Look, you can do that. You can do that. But let me ask you a question. Would that be the wisest choice and in the best interest? In fact, look at your parents, grandparents. See if they might have made that choice. See if one of their siblings, one of your aunts or uncles, made a choice like that. Look at what happened in their life. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you the odds of you turning out any better making that same decision are just as good as what their odds were. In fact, I'll just say it this way, because we live in a worse world in many ways than what we grew up in, your odds are even lower. And I said that because mom and dad will know when it's time to let you go. Now, look at me. The state says 18. When does a young man leave the house? For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and what? Cleave to whom? His wife. It's not time for you to leave the house until you're married. Well, preacher, I just don't see it that way. Find a biblical principle that discusses that, and we can put away that pot of coffee talking about it. The Bible cutoff for someone leaving the house, setting up housekeeping on their own, is when they get married. Okay? Now look at me. We know that from Jewish custom that the young man would go and prepare a place for that bride. Usually they would add it on to the father's house. Come on now. Amen. Amen. That's where the Amish get it. That's right. But they add on to that house, and whenever they're ready, then they will set up housekeeping with their new bride. Young men, I want to plead with you, and I want you to listen to me. Stay at home with your mom and dad until it's time for you to move out. Save up money. Work a job. Save up money. Be ready to go out and set up a house on your own when the time comes. Say, well, I shouldn't have to obey their laws and rules. You can choose to move out. Take all that money, throw it into rent, you'll never see it again. Amen, it's gone. It's gone. Nothing wrong with renting when you do it, but listen, you can stay at home. You can probably eat a little bit cheaper, okay? Now, mom and dad may say, chuck in $25 a week for groceries just because you need to learn a little bit of responsibility. Right. Amen. Tan staffel, ain't no such thing as a free lunch. Y'all learn that in economics, all right? So make sure that you understand that and see what they do. So, young men, I want to plead with you, stay at the house. Young ladies, I want to encourage you. Just because you turn 18 does not mean it's time to leave home. The world says that's what you need to do. Biblically, the right thing to do is to stay under the watch care of your parents until such time as that young man comes and takes you away from your parents' place. Well, we're going to get an apartment with my friend or my cousin or my aunt or whatever. We're going to get an apartment. We're going to do this and we're going to live here. And this is going to be our decision. We're going to have all this and we're going to work. That sounds like a wonderful, wonderful thing. And it would be great if the Bible would give us a principle that would allow you to do that. Well, you're just being old-fashioned, preacher. Okay? Being old-fashioned. Guilty as charged. How many of us know young ladies and young men who have gone off just like that? They've lived by themselves. They've gotten their own place. They had their own rules, their own time, all the rest of that. And they lost their virginity because they messed around. They got on dope, on alcohol. They slept with multiple people. And now they have a disease that they're carrying around. And that's going to be with them the rest of their life. Is that really, you say, well, that won't happen to me. Look, Jochebed kept that young man at home as long as she could. No one is going to love you. No one is going to help you. No one is going to bend over backwards to help you like your parents. And I'm talking about mom especially. There's a lot of places your dad may not go with you. But when I see Mary at the cross while Jesus is dying. Because that's a mother's love. Jochebed was protective. But I want to say this, and I've already hit on some of this, and I've really covered part of it already. Jochebed not only was perceptive regarding her baby, not only was she protective regarding that young man, but number three and last, she prepared that young man to succeed in life by keeping him alive. Here it is in chapter 2, verse number 3, that she could no longer hide him. Look at this. She took for him an ark of bulrushes. I wonder who made that. I wonder if ladies knew how to make baskets back then. Yeah. She just made an ark, some type of a basket. She daubed it to where it was not going to take on water and set them in the river. Now look at me. You know as well as I do, you've seen National Geographic, they big crocodiles in that there Nile. They big crocodiles. Yeah, absolutely. And because they're big crocodiles, just by the way things go, a crocodile very easily could have heard that baby, smelled that baby, okay, and eaten the baby. And you know that the crocodiles were there because babies were being chucked into the water regularly. So if there's food in the water, they're going to be there. So this is a miracle. Watch me. Because God, or because this lady had done the right thing, God protected that little one here. So it doesn't say that, preacher. Tell me how in the world that baby survived. We don't know how long he was there. May have been there 30 minutes. He may have been there an hour. He may have been there half a day. We have no idea. But God kept the croc swimming away from where that little youngin' was long enough to have Pharaoh's daughter come down, pinch that baby, make him squall, that woman fall in love with him, and then all of a sudden Miriam shows up and says, I can find a Hebrew woman to nurse that for you. And Moses was saved. She prepared. In the midst of all the dangers that he was going into, she prepared him for the place where he was going and did that in such a way to increase his chances of success, to use it that way. Sometimes parents may go overboard, but we don't think we're going overboard. We think we're being very, very reasonable. I can still remember one particular situation that happened when I was a senior in high school. I said something. I don't remember if I said it to my mom or to my dad. And my dad said that's it. you are going nowhere. It was either Friday night or Saturday night. And I had some friends who were getting together, and they were going to get in all kinds of foolishness. You know, my dad laying his foot down. And I even told him myself, I'm going to go in there and say, Dad, you never let me do anything. And I thought to myself, whoa, wait a minute. He lets me do pretty much whatever I want. And I thought through it. As a teenager, don't fall over. Brother Kevin, don't fall over. But as an 18-year-old boy, I thought through it and said, Dad was right. I really thought that. And said, look, there's no reason for me to say, Dad, you never let me do anything, because that wouldn't be fair to him. I'm just going to stay here and take my stinking lumps. I didn't like it. But you know, him doing that kept me from a lot of trouble. Kept me from a lot of trouble. And so, moms do what they can to prepare their children for the time is going to come when they'll have to let their children go. We don't like it. We don't like it. It would break our hearts. And it does break our heart. I mean, it was terrible to see Caleb move out of the house, because it's like, you know, shucks, man. Of course, he's doing work through another brother, and he would come home. He's still at home with us and all that, so it's like, man. Then he gets married, and then, you know, we get grandbaby. That's great. That's wonderful. That's fine. We like that. Parents have a hard time letting youngins go. And I'm just going to say this, and I'll finish up here in a minute. We don't want you to be 35 years old playing video games in the basement. Okay? That's not being a man. That's being a teenager in a grown man's body. Okay? And it's fine to play a game. It's fine to play a game. Play games. Play a game. It's fine to do that. But don't let that be your whole life. Well, I'm going to be a professional video game designer. Look, yeah. I told some of the fellas here this afternoon, when I taught school, I've had a couple of kids come in. They'd have their sunglasses on, want to wear their glasses in class. And I'm like, look, your future's not that bright. Just take the shades off, put them on top of your head. You know, just forget about it, okay? We want you to leave home, but at the right time. Now look, come back and visit. Bring your laundry, wash your laundry at the house. We don't mind it a bit. We're happy to do that. We'll cook you supper. We'll send you home with food. We'll buy diapers. You can have diapers at the house for the babies, okay, when they come. We'll do that. We'll buy wipes. We'll do that. We'll help you any way that we can. But listen to me. Your mother right now has already perceived in your life what you are good at. She's helping you in that. Mother may assign you some books to read because she thinks they'll be good for you. Okay? Mother has already been very protective of you. And she's going to continue to be protective because she's preparing you to leave. And when she does leave, she wants you to be successful. And your mother wants you to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And she wants you to serve Him. The greatest Mother's Day gift you could give to your mother is it's a little too late for this, and I should have said it already, was you should have, you know, all the moms, if your children were not in a good Bible-believing church, amen, then they should have been here with you today. That would have been wonderful. That really would have been wonderful. But having said all that, just Jochebed is a great, great example of a lady who has some characteristics and traits I just want to share with you tonight. All right, I've rambled on. I'm done tonight. I'm finished. That's it. I'm done. No mas. No more. We're done.